3 seconds. 2, 1. Hit start.
Started. We started. That's it. That we're a beautiful countdown moment. This is Loser Lee's Wrestling. This is Loser Lee's Wrestling with the woos and whats of Loser Lee's Wrestling. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with
Moet Jaswal.
Excellent job, Moet. How are you feeling today? You're looking great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I've been working out again, so I appreciate noticing. Yeah.
I see your face looks a lot more muscular than it did last week.
It does. Yeah, it's all the cheeks. Yeah, a lot of cheek exercise, I guess.
Excellent job. Excellent job, Moet. Excellent. And we just finished watching AEW Dynamite. And boy, what a dynamite it was. Moet, just off the top of the head, I know that you're doing... Moet's doing double duty right now. He's doing tech, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's hosting, he's doing it all. But if you could say one word to describe today's show, one word.
It was all right. It was all right. That's how I feel. That's, yeah. I don't know. It didn't... I think I'm just not into the storylines they're building for this go-around. You know, yeah. It's hard for me to get into any of these new factions and things that are all building up, so I don't know. I don't know if
they're helping the situation. I feel like they had the past 2 weeks, I felt they had a lot of goodwill with me. They had a lot of Loser Lee's Wrestling goodwill. I felt they were pretty well-produced episodes with interesting turns, even if they were a little repetitive or they kept doing certain things. I feel like this was just a terribly produced show. I felt like, you know that issue where you told me that there's an episode where they have one trope that they do continuously throughout.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, I felt this was beat down and surprise entrance day, you know?
They do that a lot? Let's think about it. I mean, they had a lot of new faction sort of kind of attacks,
Yeah, deviating, and they we're going to get into it.
We're jumping
But this
ahead,
is the woos and whats. It's the woos, that's the good stuff, and the whats, which is the bad stuff. And we're going to go over what was the best and the worst of today's AEW Dynamite. We just finished watching it, by the way. So I'm just going to start it off with my big woo of the evening. And that's it. That's actually the issue, is I don't have many woos. My biggest woo of the evening is the Pixies song, Where Is My Mind, playing.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so perfect for Orange Cassidy.
It's perfect for Orange Cassidy. It's perfect for the best friends. And it's perfect for their hug at the end.
Yeah.
To see their hug, him putting up the thumbs up, the double hug, and then the zoom out with that song playing. It's pretty great.
I actually forgot I was watching wrestling in that moment. Like, it felt like a movie. It felt that good and that polished, you know, when Trent is on the ropes and he like gives the thumbs up, you know, or it's the opposite where they all do the thumbs up and you see Sue and she gets the thumbs up back and it's this like beautiful like aerial camera that like spins around Trent to that song. It was perfect.
And I'll say in combination with that song, it's Trent's return. That entire ending sequence, I feel, was very good. Trent's return, the music playing, Sue's mom giving the thumb, Sue giving the thumbs up. Sue's mom.
Did I say that too? Yeah, my bad.
I think JR might have accidentally say Sue's mom, but it's Sue's van and Sue's in the van. That was the best part of this episode for me, was that ending sequence.
Yeah. Yeah,
would you concur?
I felt actually emotional watching it. I was just like, it's just so good. It was good to see Chris Statlander back and Trent back, of course, and Sue in the van and
Sue
everything.
In the van.
It just felt good to see all that. Yeah,
And the song, really, honestly, my favorite part about Tony Khan is that he's willing to spend money just to be happy for a second. Like, he'll pay for the rights for this song so that he could make four people happy. You know,
I love the Pixies though. I love Big
I do
Little.
Too.
Yeah, I haven't listened to them in a while, but it brought me right back to like high school, college era. I'm just like listening to that one album like over and over again. So, it's just great, and it feels like a big deal every time. The last few times Orange Cassidy has come out to that song, it's just having like a recognizable pop song is such a big deal.
Is this Wait, this isn't the first time.
Well, we got Jungle Boy.
Oh, yeah, Jungle Boy. But, like, this is the first time they're playing Pixies for this show. For AEW,
no, right? It's at least the second time.
They did it last week, too?
Well, he was on Dark, I want to say. Or what? Maybe Elevation or something. They premiered it
watching
on one of those. I don't know. I think this is the first time on Dynamite, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. It's weird how they premiered Jungle Boy's music on Dark, too.
Yeah. And my favorite thing is about that is watching Taz or listening to Taz try to sing that song.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. Did you catch that? Yeah, I saw a clip of that yesterday night. It's so funny. It's so funny.
It's pretty endearing. Yeah. It's pretty endearing. Actually, the commentary on Dark is very endearing. I haven't watched Elevation yet. I really should.
Right. Yeah. I haven't.
Have you seen it yet?
No, yeah. Just clips. I watched a little bit on Monday. I liked Britt Baker's explanation of it though, which over my head. I gave it zero thought of why it's called Elevation. Absolutely zero. For Britt to like explain it to some knucklehead like me that they're trying to elevate other talent. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
great title now.
Yeah. I thought Britt was just saying that as a way of putting down Thunder Rosa and the show in general.
Oh, it is. Yeah. But also it's got to be the actual reason for the
It
for
is, sure. And that's what's disappointing about it. Why? Like it's so on the nose.
Oh, no, it's but so that's fun. I mean, AEW
like, rather than
Dark.
Have Velocity or Heat or like a secondary Oh, Dark is even not bad. I don't mind Dark.
Dark is so on the nose. It's the dark matches of the episode of the
Yeah, but it's an insider term. Like a regular fan wouldn't be like, "Oh, they're obviously saying a dark match."
Elevation isn't an insider term. It's not on the nose.
I know that's on the nose for everyone.
2 weeks to figure it out. Come on.
I hate it, Moet. I really hate it. Yeah. What's your biggest woo of the evening? What do you got?
Besides that, that was, I thought I liked that.
That was your biggest woo as well?
Yeah.
Oh, so we're on the same page?
Yeah, that was the best part of that. Yeah, and Arcade Anarchy wasn't as, I don't know. I felt it was a little awkward at times. I don't know. But they made up for it for the ending. For the
ending
surprise reveal, Chris Statlander and everything after that.
I have some what's in that. I have some what's in there, but we'll get to those.
Okay,
we'll get to
those. Yeah.
But you're right,
fun.
It did fix, the ending fixed the match. Mm-hmm. What was your next woo of the evening then? What do you got?
The Inner Circle beatdown on the Pinnacle.
Okay.
Was, I don't know. Like, okay, so here's the thing. I didn't love a lot of things. I didn't hate a lot of things.
It was all middle ground.
Yeah, so I like the Inner Circle breakdown, beatdown, sorry, I like how they revealed it. It was very comical in a very, very Chris Jericho MGF sort of way, where he opens they've taken over the Inner Circle locker room area, and he opens the bathroom, and they're all standing in there. He's like, we gotta go right now, like they're in a Scooby-Doo cartoon or something, and then, what's his face? Hager.
Hager was on the other side.
Of
the door.
And then they get beat up. Yeah, yeah. That was very silly. I like that. And I don't know.
I agree that I love that. I really like that segment. That was a cool beatdown. And they have fun with those type of segments. It's just, like you said this a few weeks ago, it didn't feel earned. You know, it felt like the Pinnacle haven't really done anything yet at all as a team. They haven't actually done anything at all as a team yet. And their first big moment is them getting beaten up and kicked out of their locker room.
Oh, Red, they took the Inner Circle's locker room. So that was, like, established a few weeks ago. So it wasn't even theirs. I think they're building that.
Yeah.
But, no, I agree. But I've just come to terms with it. I've come to terms with that, like, they've already pushed this so far. I don't know how they can expect us to, like, cheer on the Inner Circle after a full year of them being jerks.
Yeah,
that they're just now the good guys now. That this is how, because a worse team hurt them, and now we cheer for them. You know, so that's annoying. But I'm accepting it. I'm accepting it that it's, you know.
God, the amount of acceptance we need to do, Moet.
That's wrestling, though.
That is wrestling. Yeah. That is wrestling. Why? Of course, it's wrestling. I've had to accept so many things. The Irish Whip. I learned to accept.
Yeah, Irish Whip is silly.
It's a very silly maneuver. Well, moving on. We got still more woos. I think we still have some more woos. Let me give you my next woo of the evening. Let me tell you what I thought. I thought Moxley's promo that he cut in the back. Well, Moxley does a really good job of making sense or trying to bring sense into circumstances and situations that don't. Like, he was talking about how he's pissed off, and he's like, I'm still itching my barbed wire bites, and I'm upset that I get jumped every other week. And you know what? The Young Bucks helped me, and now I owe them, and that pisses me off. And I kind of liked his whole setup. He takes the nonsense that he's constantly surrounded with, and he'll try to make it sense just for him. You know, like, he'll do his best. And his match with Cesar Bonini, I thought it was good enough. I just liked what he did in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on the match and the promo?
I like the match a lot. I like the match because it, I mean, it was pretty straightforward, mm-hmm. but he did great selling for Cesar Bonini. It made him look like a monster. not a monster, yeah. but that he had power. They looked like he could actually beat somebody up. Like Hangman, I didn't feel that last week or the week before, whatever it was. I didn't feel like it felt like just like a low card jobber, you know, just try. Yeah. But Mox did a great job. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did. And I feel like Cesar Bonino, he's almost there. Like, he's got a good look, he's got good facials, he's in good shape, and he definitely looks the part. My biggest issue is, if you watch his strikes, they look so gentle. Like, yeah. and Moxley selling them, like, he was doing his best. He was bouncing all over them, but some of those hits were just so... He doesn't know how to lay things in yet, you know?
For sure, yeah.
He doesn't know how to, like, make his body look like he... It's kind of like that rule of animation, where, like, it's almost like with one finger that has to touch something, everything else has to move, kind of, you know? Right. When you're going for a punch, you can't just move your arm.
Right, yeah.
Which it seems what Cesar Bonini's doing.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I singled out Mox for this, because I could tell that Cesar Bonini was just missing something. Yeah, and I think he nailed it. Yeah, just not going all the way through with his strikes.
I think he looks cool, though.
I think so, yeah.
I like his mustache, and not many people have mustaches in wrestling anymore.
I was a fan of mustaches, yeah.
You do a good job with the mustache. I think you could do a good mustache. You used to have a mustache.
I can do a good mustache, yeah.
I remember your mustache. You had a real curly mustache.
Oh, yeah, it went curly, yeah.
Yeah, I remember. That's how I first met you, is with a curly mustache. Yeah.
Big curly. That was years ago, wow.
Yeah, it was. You were filming Hullabaloo stuff, and you had that curly mustache, and I'm just like, wow. That's a guy who, you were filming the Hullabaloo stuff.
Oh, yeah. You saw me across the guy with that mustache.
That's 100%. Well, Moet, we sound off in the comments. Send us an email if you want Moet to wear a mustache again. And by the way, send some emails to loserleavespod@gmail.com. Give us all your questions. We're going to have a real fun time this week. We got some great hot questions already. You saw, right, Moet?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm set for it. Yeah,
we're set
I'm
for
so
it. We're
excited.
Pretty excited. From the participation, we thank you all so much for participating. Like and subscribe. And share, please. Moving on. We got some more stuff here for you. So we mentioned Chris Statlander returning, Trent and Trent's mom returning. Tell me a little bit, what do you thought about Cody and QT today? Because that's in my woos.
I liked it. I thought it was, like, a nothing match to me. I don't know. It didn't really get me the match. I understood the concept overall, the story of, you know, Cody's clearly the better wrestler in the story and in real life, most likely, but you know, he's going easy on him. That was fine. I don't know. I did you find anything special about that match?
It was refreshing because I felt like it was a match that didn't give us everything, you know, like it wasn't a big grudge match immediately, you know. It was kind of it was a very nice story told. Was it the best, most captivating thing in the world? No, but it was probably the most captivating match on this show, unfortunately, because like I paid attention the entire time and I wanted to see what happened, you know.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you know what, I did like the reveal of this new QT Marshall faction. I am actually a fan of that. I like that there's like a hierarchy of factions now. I like that there's clearly like a dorky faction that is just there to get beat up, but it's still kind of dangerous. I mean, they did a sort of dangerous thing. They beat up the Rhodes family. So I don't know. What do you think?
What do you think? I actually want to jump on, stay on this. Yeah. What do you think is the number one faction in AEW then right now?
I was going to say the Elite, but I guess Kenny Omega, whatever he's doing.
Kenny Omega and Good Brothers,
I guess,
deal?
Is that what you call it? Yeah, then the Elite, whatever is there, probably Inner Circle, below that, Pinnacle.
Pinnacle's not even near there, I feel like.
They're getting there, but they're, as far as, like, I don't know, they come across as, like, a dangerous team.
Where's Team Taz lying?
Oh, yeah, they exist. They're so low.
They're pretty low. They're
imploding right now. I mean, we don't even know what's going on with them.
We don't. But to the Cody and QT thing, I enjoyed the match, and I enjoyed the arm punch, the punch to arm. So Cody and QT had this exhibition match, which I don't know what it means, what they're trying to have it mean to have an exhibition match, but essentially... QT turned on the whole family today by punching referee Arn Anderson right in the face. And Arn sold it good. I enjoyed that. That was a pretty cool little moment of him walking away and the whole team jumping Cody and the brothers, you know?
You're right. That was a great moment. Yeah. Yeah. Because it did really, it was great. I didn't see that coming, and it was a good, like cowardly, frustrated heel moment. Yeah.
Yes. 100%. Excellent work. Moet, we're doing so well today. You have no idea. Do you have anything else you liked about this night?
What'd you think of Christian Cage?
That's the top of my what's.
Yeah.
That's my, like, number one what.
You want to just move on to that?
Let's talk about it then. So Christian Cage debuts today. He opens the show, Christian Cage versus Kaz. Christian Cage gets the win in a hard-fought match. Hard-fought, the hardest Christian's ever had. Christian had to beg tooth and nail to get to that win. I am so upset that they didn't just give me a squash. I'm not saying he has to squash Kaz. I just want to see, if they're trying to introduce this guy to the title picture, he hasn't wrestled in 7 years. In 7 years, he hasn't had a singles match. And so they're introducing him to this new audience, and they can't make him, just show me the cool stuff that he could do, you know? I just want to see the cool stuff that he could do in a small amount of time so I realize, oh, this guy's a threat. If I see him having a back and forth match for 15 minutes with a low mid-carder.
Well, so the thing is, I didn't know this, but they have like a very long storied history together. Like, I don't, Impact, TNA is sort of a blind spot for me, but apparently they have a very long feud there, and Excalibur was saying they went back 20 years or something feuding with each other.
Excalibur.
Which I don't know. Well, he knows everything. I would trust him more than...
Yeah, I do. I actually do trust Excalibur a lot more. Probably more than... Just second to Mauro Ranallo as announcers go.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. So that's why, like, once I found that out, it made me okay with why they're feuding straight up. Like, why they picked him as his first match against Christian Cage. But, yeah, I don't know. I kind of like that, though. I like that it's not a squash. Like, I don't want every new debut to just have a squash match. I feel like that becomes predictable. And also, I don't know if he has many cool moves to do. I don't know if that's his style.
No, but to show off that his biggest thing is not necessarily the cool. You're right. He's not a big flashy move guy. But, like, it's about how he outwits the other person, how he counters them, and how he does move very well around the ring. And he looked great. I don't want to take anything away from Christian Cage. This was a good match. It was a good match. I wanted to. Just like with any movie or story, and you're introducing a character, you want them to look as good as possible in the early, not as good as possible. You want to show some reason to either root or hate them, you know, something before you get into the story, so that you have a semblance of who this person is. You know, like, you don't give us the big gunfight at the very beginning of the movie because you want to find out more about them. Like, if you gave that, you wouldn't care about the gunfight.
But that's
you wouldn't care about the gunfight. But it is. It was a big. Oh, they clawed for every move, and they're struggling. And he's like, "I thought I had him." Did anyone believe Kaz was going to beat Christian? Not a single person in the world.
No, I didn't. Okay, hold on.
You thought Christian on his opening match was going to lose to Kaz?
I didn't believe it, but I like that idea though. I like that they were pulling that off. So this isn't the most perfect example since we're talking about movies, but it happens to be the only thing I could think of off the top of my head. Logan. Wolverine, like, sure. we know Logan's history because of all those movies, just like we know Christian's history, so we know he's capable of, but Christian's an old man now. He's old and he can't handle it, and that's what, and whereas Kaz, well, I guess potentially the same age, I don't know, but he's been in it, he's been doing it this entire time, whereas Christian had to stop. So, like, it makes sense that, you know, when every time Christian got hit, he has that kind of look in his eyes of, like, whether he can continue or not, you know, that it's sort of taking some ring rust, I guess, to get back in, you know, but we know his potential, just like Logan, and that's, you know, and we'll see what he's capable of maybe in a future match from here on out. Like, it's not going to be as easy as he thought it would be.
I get what you're saying about Logan, but I feel like Logan is a different scenario. Imagine the first Batman. The first Batman, right? With Michael Keaton.
Okay.
Michael Keaton. And so you see him, like, chasing after these bad guys. He's chasing after these bad guys who robbed someone of their purse or something. And they catch up with him. And imagine these robbers that, like, got a little knife, beat the shit out of Batman within an inch of his life. And he just kind of struggles to tie up their feet. And he's all winded. You wouldn't care half as much. You know who Batman is. We all know who Batman is. But you'd be like, this is a really shitty Batman.
No, but this isn't just this isn't a robber. Okay, like a robber is like the equivalent of like, you know, like Marco Stunt or someone, like just some pissant guy or Aaron Solo. You know, some guy's like, ah, of course Christian's gonna beat him. It's Aaron Solo. You know, but this is more like, I don't know, the Riddler or like
you think Kaz is the Riddler?
No, what's a shitty villain that
Mr. Calendar? Feisty.
He's
Mr. Calendar.
He's,
and if Mr. Calendar even got close to beating Batman, everyone would shit on Batman.
There was an entire comic book. There was a whole, like, a multi 200 page book about how he almost beat up Batman. I read it. He went through every single calendar.
You're the only one who read it.
Mr. Holiday, yeah. He almost did it, and just like Kaz almost did it.
We're gonna have to agree to disagree on this one. We can't get this is a big loser leaves wrestling debate. We're gonna continue this going forward. We gotta move on, Mo. We gotta move on. Okay. We're gonna have to shelf that for now. What's your next big what of the evening? What do you got?
I'm Darby Allin makes me feel like an old man. I just don't get it. I don't get it, Red.
Darby Allin had
that
a video.
I don't know. This is my therapy session right now. I need to understand why I hate this so much. I feel like it's probably cool for teenagers. Maybe I don't like the emo thing. I love Darby Allin as a wrestler. I just, like, I'm just tired of it. I think he's getting better at cinematography. The shots look good.
It looked
good. Editing looks good. Like, there's a vibe that he definitely accomplished with it, I gotta say. But the content is so infuriatingly bad. Like, the fire being the only color is such a cheap gimmick, you know. Yeah. I don't know. The shitty Matt Hardy... Mask.
Yeah, let's talk about content a little bit. So Darby Allin and Sting, which I love the pairing. I'm really liking the pairing, and having Sting being in these videos is fine for me. Actually, I'm okay with
it. I do like that too. Yeah.
So they're walking across the bridge, like they're shooting back and forth with them moodily, like brooding over a bridge ledge, and then they go back to pictures of Darby, or video of Darby with a Matt Hardy mask and just with one eye missing, and he's looking real evil, and money's falling all around him, and there's like a mattress burning or something along those lines. Either way, it's a very awkward. It feels awkward. It feels nonsensical. But it's trying to send the message that money can't buy you everything. And Matt, we're going to show it to you. Like, I just don't understand how these feuds are developing. And I understand less about what Darby Allin's trying to accomplish with these videos. I don't know what message he's trying to get across.
I think that's his version of promos. It's his, he doesn't really do promos traditionally, yelling into a microphone. So this is his way of getting his character across.
Okay.
But I don't think it's effective.
Yeah.
Is a thing. I like that he talked a lot more because it
proves
my thesis of him being, it being his version of a promo.
Yeah.
But it's just like in graffiti, it says, money changes everything on the court, which is like, just like 14-year-old trash. I don't know. I'd be so embarrassed. If I even came across that graffiti walking around town or something, I'm like, these damn kids. And this guy's worth $1 million. Like, it's insane. Not that that matters, but you know what I mean? It's just so silly.
I'm not as mad at this video as I have with other ones. Like you said, because there's talking, there's an obvious story, a very obvious, on the nose obvious story that they're trying to tell. Money can't buy you everything and all this. I didn't even know that Darby and Sting were feuding with Matt Hardy. I didn't know. Did you?
Yeah. I mean, that happened pretty fast last week or the week before where they attacked Darby. But,
oh, that's
Dark
right. They did attack.
They're kind of feuding with Dark Order and Darby and Sting at the same time. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
I mean, they kind of pulled, they kind of progressed. They progressed both. Dark Order attacked Matt Hardy and everything in the women's match tonight.
Matt Hardy has too much stage time right now, which is actually, it's a real problem in AEW when they're like, wanna who we should put more of on the show? Matt Hardy.
Maybe he's got a lot of ideas. They're not all good ideas, but I think he's got a lot of ideas, and I think they put people have ideas, right? So he's got 1,000 characters, so he's probably like, all right, so I got an idea for Darby and Sting. I got an idea for Dark Order. They're like, fine, whatever, do it. Jack Evans has no ideas. We need something tonight.
Tony Khan is being too nice to Matt Hardy. Like, someone's got to step in. I still say that what Tony Khan needs more than anything is a stooge. He needs a West, like a Gerald Briscoe, or his version of a Gerald Briscoe. Have it be someone that's like a wrestler that just retired recently, but he's still like tough guy. Get like, one who he gets, Bill DeMott.
Bill DeMott.
Do you remember Bill DeMott?
Yeah, isn't he a bad dude?
Yeah, he's a bad dude.
No, we don't want bad dudes in AEW. We only want good dudes.
He's a bad dude.
I think he's like legit, like a really bad dude.
He's a real legit bad teacher, but he'll do whatever Tony Khan says. And that's what Tony Khan needs right now, is a bully. He needs a bully back there. Like, maybe not Bill DeMott. Some version of a bully. JBL. Get JBL over there. And tell JBL this is what has to happen. Have JBL go up to the wrestlers and be like, this is what's going to happen. Because Tony Khan has no power. He has no reins on these wrestlers. He has no control.
I read in an interview that was like one of the main thing he learned from like the first year of Dynamite was like learning how to say no to ideas that he didn't like, which is great that he, you know, can reflect on that and understand.
Let's see him put it into action. Put it into action. Moving on. Mo, what's your next big what of the evening? What do you got?
Nothing else that I like care about that much. Yeah. Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, similarly, the Darby Allin video, they had a very cheesy video that was embarrassing to me to watch, cheesy video. But I like the pairing. I think it could be interesting. I'm up for it.
Yeah.
See where it goes. I didn't expect that. I thought Scorpio was going to do his own thing. I thought they would both do their own thing. So I don't know why they are together. But I'm up for it. Let's see where it goes.
You know? Yeah, and it was in my what's, but then I was just like, why? I don't even care enough to talk about it. You know, like, it's just like, it's just another thing that they threw at the TV screen. I guess one thing I'd like to talk about is just the Arcade Anarchy. I just want to talk about that briefly, just in terms of, I thought the wrestlers worked hard. I thought the wrestlers worked hard, and I thought Orange Cassidy and Miro would have a cool feud. Like, individually, like whenever they were together, there's some magic there. I felt like, because Orange Cassidy knows how to sell and take bumps, and Miro knows how to be surprised by offense. Like, he's very good at taking control of the match and being very powerful, but when he gets surprised, he's very good. He's very good with illustrating to the audience that he made a mistake, and now things are going against his way. Like, when he could make it believable that Orange Cassidy gets the upper hand. Even though he's 100 pounds heavier than him, he can make it believable that he messed up with a kick, and now he's getting punched in the stomach. And I would like to see that match. But besides that, all the wrestlers worked hard. I wish the props designer worked a quarter as much as they did. Because that whack-a-mole game, that was legit styrofoam. When they threw Kip through it, it made the crack like styrofoam. Yeah, and you saw the styrofoam bits breaking around. The Mortal Kombat 2 machine, where that Miro just picked up.
Just had tokens like, on it. With a piece of paper that someone just printed off the word token.
They just wrote tokens, and they couldn't have just had a black screen because he picked it up. Or have a cord dripping from it. Or at least make it to scale with any of the other arcade machines it's next to. It was like a baby version.
Yeah, my instinct is to, like, you know, give them some, you know, give them some slack, because, like, they had to build a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff that they put out there. But also, they've been building this match for like 2 or 3 weeks now, so it's weird that it was that quality of garbage out there. Like, you think they could have figured it out, you know?
He spent so much money renting all these arcade machines to go around the ring that he was obviously like, don't touch these. These are rentals. Like, they didn't touch any arcade machine besides the whack-a-mole game. That was the obvious gimmick. The Mortal Kombat 2. And then the concession stand, the ticket stand.
Boy, hold on. Were there real arcade machines out there? I saw like, I don't know, like 14 of them or whatever in a corner on the right side of the screen, but were they real?
They were on. They're plugged in. Like, I saw Mortal Kombat playing in the corner.
Oh.
Like, a few of them, so they spent money and time to have all these arcade machines there. He couldn't have had one props designer, but pay them whatever to spend a day to just make one that looks like one. Like, I just wanted to see a little bit more thought, because that really took me out of the match. I wanted to try to like this match, and I wanted to try to care. It's just the lack of pre-production bothered me.
I agree. Yeah, see, my problem was I only saw what they used. I saw the grouping of them, but I didn't see what was on the screen. So when he picked up the Mortal Kombat 2 machine, I assume they all look like that. This like kind of flimsy, crappy thing. Or the styrofoam breaking on Whack-A-Mole. I assumed they were all of a similar material. So that's interesting that they actually have had real ones out there.
Yeah, there were some real ones. I just wish, yeah.
As a side note, thinking about it, when Chris Statlander appeared from the alien machine.
The claw machine?
The claw machine, sorry. Yeah, yeah. She hit the glass or the thing. It went flying.
Yeah,
that was one of the best parts of the match to me.
I was worried.
Shock value.
Who's that? Penelope.
Penelope.
Cruz?
Yeah. Delphi
yeah. I was worried because I was just like that would hurt. That I thought maybe she got hit in the face, but that was actually the most exciting part. Like that's when the match picked up for me is her appearance because
yeah.
She. I will say this. That Michinoku driver through the air hockey table was pretty great.
That was great, yeah.
That was pretty cool looking.
She was one of my favorites at the start of AEW. It's a shame that she got injured. So I didn't expect her to be healed by now. I thought it would take another month or two or something. So super cool that she's back. I'm very excited to see that.
And I'm glad that they're giving a woman a big surprise return. I feel like they have a lot of these for the male superstars, and when a woman's back, it's just like, oh, we're expecting her back next week, but they treated her like a star, you know? Which I appreciate, that they treated her like a star in that moment.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's the issue that there's only one match a week on Dynamite, so yeah. There just aren't that many stars in the women's side. Like, Krista, they were building her to be a star before she got injured, so, like, it makes sense that she got that moment. It's more just frustrating. Like, just give them more time is what, and they're getting there. They're getting better every week, but you know.
Yeah, I guess Moet. I guess, but that's it. That's all. Do we have anything else to talk about? Is there any other things on this show that?
Yeah, dude, we got Marco Stunt got a tattoo of an ape on his forearm.
Yeah, that was he did.
Is that real? What the hell was that?
Yeah,
is that
was
always
real.
There? Did I miss it?
I think it's new. It looked
and
new.
His reasoning for it is so he could always remember to beat that ass.
Was that his? Yeah, I heard that. I didn't understand.
Almost positive, that's
what
he said.
Yeah. I didn't understand any of that.
He was hiding it. He was hiding it for the whole thing. They're going to do a Godzilla vs. Kong referenced match next week.
I'm pretty excited about that. Honestly, like, that's the match I've been waiting because I've been really enjoying them on Dark. I felt like their last appearance on Dynamite was kind of lackluster because they didn't really get a chance to shine. Like, they were in that big tag with Jurassic Express where they threw Marco Stunt out of the ring. But because it was such a big tag, they got drowned out.
They also felt, like, a little, like, reckless in that match, too.
I mean,
the way they even replayed it. Like, the way they threw Marco Stunt looked dangerous.
That looked bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But I do like their vibe.
I do.
I think they're very
I'm a big
weird.
Fan. Yeah.
I'm excited to see where they go. Yeah. But, yeah, he was hiding the tattoo, and then he I don't remember how he revealed it, but it's a pretty cool tattoo. It just looks so weird on Marco Stunt. Is it where does it line up to you with neck tattoo Cody?
Not at all.
Not
even
at all.
Close.
Oh, it doesn't even
because neck tattoo Cody is terrible. It is so bad. Like that, you could hide. Or what? In all honesty, it's not even a bad hide. Like it's a good looking tattoo on his forearm. He's just a weird guy. But Cody's neck tattoo is one of the worst tattoos I've ever seen in my life. That'll never come. You can't even hide it anymore. It's over.
Yeah, you're
with that
right,
blonde
right, yeah.
hair. It's just he looks. He it's bad. It's real bad.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, I just need to hear you rag on that tattoo again. Yeah, you're right. It's a very cool. The gorilla, the ape, is very very cool.
Anyone AEW could get any tattoo they want, and it would never, ever affect me the same way as Cody's neck tattoo.
That was, yeah, you had a visceral reaction to it. You were
still?
You had a, yeah.
Every still seat, to this yeah. day. Still to this day. I every time I see it, I'm shocked.
Like, <it's>, like, what?
It shakes me.
Oh,
it shakes me to the
wakes
core.
You up at night. God.
But let's leave you with that. Let's leave you with that image of Cody's neck tattoo rocking you gently to sleep as we end this Woos and Watts of AEW Dynamite. This has been Loser Leaves Wrestling. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and on Twitter, and make sure to follow us at Loser Leaves Wrestling. Send some emails at loserleavespod@gmail.com so we could read those sweet letters and questions that Moet loves to answer. Moet, tell them how much you love to answer questions.
I need to know your questions so I can answer them. It gives me purpose in life, please. I need it.
give Moe a purpose. Please, goodness, give Moe a purpose. Thank you all so much for watching. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with...
Moe Jaswal.
Moe, if you were made out of any natural resource, what would you be made out of?
God damn it. Water and... steel! Steel!
You're steel!
Steel, just fully steel. Yeah, like that.
I don't know if it counts because natural resources, we don't grow steel.
Oh, come on. Fine. I don't know. Corn.
Corn. thank you all much, Moe's Corn. Bye. 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 Have a good one. Excellent job.